Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest hosts Jason and Randy Sklar on CBS Sports Radio.
Hour two, clones. We're coming to you live from the Quicken Loan Studio. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. They are our staff here is amazing. They're feverishly working on.
Thank you, Adam Hogg. Thank you, James Kelly, Tom DeCelestino. We're figuring this out, and we should be able to have.
Hopefully, we'll get Ryan Dempster on soon. Maybe we'll peel back and see if we can grab Matt Weiner. In the meanwhile, if you're watching Comedy Central tonight at 10 p.m. East and 10 p.m. West,
probably 10 both.
Maybe 9 Central. Randy and I battle each other on one of the funniest shows on television, Roast Battle. By
Jeff Ross, the Roast Master General. He said, he's like, I want you guys to battle each other. Now, for 25 plus years, we've been building a career of trying to build something together. And tonight, we tear all that down.
Yes, we break it down tonight in an epic battle that gets personal
Sklar
and angry.
Sklar.
And hateful.
And we're still here. We're still standing, Jay.
We hugged each other when it was done, and I hate hugging you.
Mm-hmm. It's like touching your, like when you know, when you sleep on your arm,
yeah,
accidentally, and you wake up and you cannot feel your arm at all.
So you bang it against the wall,
and it doesn't even feel like it's part of you. And so you basically are. It's like touching your own cold, dead self. That's what it feels like, shaking your hand.
Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome. Let's talk about this because this is a story.
Well, I want to talk about this because we are going to try and get Ryan Dempster on the line. We are going to try and make that happen.
Okay.
So before we jump into that, I do want to talk about OBJ because I actually was listening to some sports talk radio as I was driving in here. And it was brought up, they're negotiating his contract in good faith there. And his agent's in New York and he's trying to negotiate the contract. First of all, why the Giants are trying to play hardball with Odell Beckham
Jr. With their
Jr.
only good receiver?
Like,
I mean, Shepard's all right, but yeah.
You know, why are you trying to play hardball with this guy?
With your star.
Okay. Yes, Saquon Barkley might step in and be one of the best running backs in the league in the next couple of years and then literally take over the load. And actually, I think Saquon Barkley makes Odell Beckham even better. It makes him an even better option.
Because he can catch, he can catch it out of the backfield.
And he keeps defenses honest. You got to put people up on the line, which gives a lot of one-on-one coverage. And then I'll bet on OBJ to do it every time. So
with one hand tied behind his back.
Right. But the point is, why are you trying to nickel and dime him? First of all, you're New York. You're a major market team. I would understand it if it was like Jacksonville. And they're like, we just don't have the money. We're Jacksonville. You know, we're Tennessee. We just don't. We're not a big market team. We're Kansas City. We can't compete with the.
I'm only a billionaire. I'm not a multi-billionaire when I own the team.
Right. But my point is, why nickel and dime? Why even come in an offer that is so far below? He is like if Mike Evans, who is a great receiver and a big body and a great dude. If Mike Evans at one point, just because it was his turn to negotiate his contract, he was the highest paid receiver in the league. If someone said OBJ is the highest paid receiver in the league, to most people, you'd be like, yeah. That seems about right. Forget about his attitude off the field. Forget about the fact that he's got to mature. Forget about the fact that, yes, before a playoff game in the frozen tundra, he took a bunch of guys down on a boat and was hanging out on a boat. The week before, instead of preparing. All right, he's got some maturing to do. The kid's 25 years old. Yep. He is one of the best receivers in the league. And if you said, hey, he's getting the most money, yeah, okay, maybe Antonio Brown is a better receiver. Mm-hmm. Maybe Antonio Brown's got a better quarterback throwing to him. But I'm saying OBJ, if he is the best, is the highest paid receiver.
You got to give it to him.
Now, he's acting like he should be the highest paid receiver.
Because he had surgically implanted into one of his teeth a
diamond encrusted cross. Which I guess the question is, what would Jesus do in that instance?
He probably wouldn't put a cross in his teeth.
No, because first of all, the cross was a very bad period of time for Jesus.
Yeah, I think I can't remember the comedian who said this, but I think I don't want to attribute
Bill
it to
Bill Hicks, maybe?
Yeah, maybe it was Bill Hicks about saying that, you know, if Jesus came back, I think he wouldn't be psyched about seeing all these crosses. That's not a good moment
that
for him in his life.
That is the period of time you want to remember when you come back, is the suffering.
Right.
I guess.
Like if JFK came back, he wouldn't want to see a lot of bullets, you know? That's not
or
what he's
convertibles.
At that point.
So the point is, or Dallas in general. So the point is that, like, he's putting a diamond-encrusted cross on his teeth.
On his tooth. Which, can you brush that? I don't know if, like, brushing is going to, like, now, diminish
this
that.
This is going to really reveal an – you know how, like, the playoffs expose your weaknesses? Like, you get into a seven-game series, you know, look, we don't have a power forward.
Right. They're going to keep hitting that.
They're going to keep hitting that and hitting that. Maybe you're going to – okay, we're bad at the bottom part of our lineup.
But you get a diamond crusted cross in your teeth, Randy Sklar. You got to take care of your teeth.
Yeah, you can't.
Suddenly be like, "Did I floss today?" No, you have to floss.
You know who
two
loves,
times a day,
right, and you know who loves the diamond encrusted tooth? Crest White Strips. They're like, we're going to be all this guy's.
Can you put a white strip over it? I mean, that's the
question. Do you want to diminish the – if you put a Crest white strip over a diamond-encrusted cross on your teeth, are you diminishing the shine of the diamond? That's a question. These are things that we just
– that he's going to find out now.
As Jewish identical twin comedians, we just don't know this stuff.
And we'll never know. Like, I wish –
I would get a Jewish star-encrusted diamond. I would put that on a back molar.
Yeah, but listen to me. Listen to me. You have to explain that to your kids and your family. Hey, guys, you don't get to go to summer camp this year because daddy just put a diamond encrusted Star of David on my molar.
Because daddy is a part-time comedian and a full-time player.
That's a move. When you put a diamond crusted cross in your teeth, that's a move by a guy who's not married.
Yeah.
Because if you get married and you don't have that conversation, hey, this is where all this money's going.
Yeah.
You're going to get it when you smile.
Either that or you have your own checking account.
Even still, and it's your money, you're making it, and you're entitled to it. I would never tell the guy not to do something like that. I would, however...
What would you do?
I would, however, take a minute and maybe counsel him. And we've said this. Mm-hmm. Every posse needs a no man.
A no man.
You need a guy who you turn to this guy and say no. All right, we got Ryan Dempster on the line. We got to talk to this dude because not only do we love him, not only do we
sit down with him. You can listen to a fuller conversation of him on our podcast, which is up right now.
View from the Cheap Seats. But we got him on the line right now. Ryan Dempster, are you there, buddy? All right, he's not there. We'll get him. We'll get him. They're working on it. Let me finish my thought. What I was saying about the diamond encrusted thing is that every posse for athletes needs a no man. You need a guy who you're like, hey, I'm thinking about getting a diamond crusted cross in my teeth. You turn to this dude and you're like, should I do it? No. Mm-hmm. His answer is just no.
No, all the time.
Ben Roethlisberger, should I block this doorway? You want to block the doorway while I take this woman to the bathroom?
No.
I'm not going to do that for you. Tiger Woods, should I get with this girl from Perkin? No.
No.
Need
a no man. Spend the money and have a no man in your posse, just someone to say no.
It'll save you money on the back end.
Yeah.
Whatever you're paying this dude ought to be on the roll with you on a daily basis, you will save that money on the back end with the problems and the bad decisions you've made.
Vinny Hardy said, would the winner of the Open receive a pair of unzipped pants? Now you're talking.
Now we're talking about other items of clothing you can get.
Or a pair of pants with a fly that with no zipper.
Open championship.
The Open Championship. Bingo. There you go. That's actually a great call. I do think there should be clothing. I think why is the Masters the only thing that gives out clothing?
At the very least, like an umbrella at the Travelers Tournament.
Or you get a diamond encrusted cross. Applied to your teeth.
Surgically implanted.
If you win the PGA Championship.
After the 18th hole, they open your mouth. There's a on-site dentist.
I would love it if you had to get the blingiest grill ever. Just to see Bubba Watson with a crazy...
But Bubba Watson I could see with a grill, but Bryson DeChambeau.
There is nothing... Who is the whitest golfer of all?
We'll put this out to you guys.
We'll put this out to you guys. Who is the whitest golfer of all? Is it... And I'll throw this out there. Is it Bryson DeChambeau? That's the whitest name I've ever heard. Soren Kjeldsen.
I don't think you're saying that right.
Sojourn Kjeldsen. Soren Kjeldsen.
Uh-huh.
Bryson DeChambeau. Or I'll even say Brandel Chamblee of the Golf Channel.
If
Brandel Chamblee with a great head of hair.
If I went to a restaurant and I was like, I will have a glass of your finest DeChambeau. And they said, tonight, try the Chamblee. It's better.
Randall Chamblee.
It's better. I'd be like, all right, I got to go with the Chamblee. Those are white people names. That's as white as it gets. Take it from two white guys. That's, my wife, you can't get whiter than
my
that.
My wife and I will each have an order of the Soren Kjeldsen, which is like a type of swordfish.
Spicy, black, like chopped
it's,
up.
It's blackened, but it looks really white.
Yes. We'll even if you blacken the Soren Kjeldsen swordfish, it stays white. That's how white it is.
The we'll have the Soren Kjeldsen. And then we'll finish things up and we'll each have a glass of the Brandel Chamblee.
Tell us if we're even in the ballpark of the white.
I will have a half carafe of the Brandel Chamblee.
I don't. We've had this discussion before. But I don't think golfers in the same way for some reason. I mean, yes, we've talked about Tiger Woods. I think they need no men. I actually do think they need no men in some cases, even on some of the wardrobe choices they make. Let's get a no man in there to just be like, eh. I don't think
so. No more knickers. Get them out.
No need.
No need. That look, we don't need to do that.
Sergio Garcia, he was wearing like a wide pant leg last week. And I was like, you don't need it. That's why you're one under. And the leaders are 11 under.
They have better pants.
Golf pant technology has emerged and gone so far that you don't need to wear those like men's warehouse pants. That they were men's warehouse
circa 98,
where you can like see where they've been let down if he's grown. You know what I mean? There's like about 2 inches above the bottom of the cuff is like a line that you can see in the pants.
And I believe Sergio Garcia was wearing a woven leather belt where half of the belt, it was too long and half of the belt was just hanging down.
Rope belt. I do want to see that. And we will get into this golf take because we do have a larger, I love that this is leading us into the golf take and maybe we'll hit that in the next segment. We're getting emails about who the whitest people, hopefully. Randy Roge at Dolph FR. Michael Strahan would go broke trying to fill that gap with diamonds. You're right.
He could put the entire Roman city between those teeth.
Michael Strahan could put the jewel of the Nile in the gap between his teeth and still not fill it.
Sklar's OBJ has jewel encrusted teeth. I have shark encrusted teeth. Signed, Jewel. Steve in Phoenix. That is pretty good.
Steve Phoenix worked hard on that joke.
That is a great joke construction.
Crafted. She could open cans. When she was homeless, she would open cans of tuna with her teeth.
Exactly.
That's all she did.
People would be like, Jewel, get over here. We got to open this thing up.
I got to pick this lock. Jewel, get over here.
Just take a chomp out of this. We got to pick this up.
She kept it real for a while, and I think she got him fixed.
I would say this, though. You look at Jewel, not as white as Brandel Chamblee.
Yeah.
And Jewel is as white as it gets.
She's Alaskan white. Alaskan homeless white.
She's like Alaskan. She's whiter than Alaskan snow.
And Brandel DeChamblee still whiter.
By the way, you did Brandel DeChamblee. You're combining Bryson DeChambeau and Brandel Chamblee. Let's just combine those two guys into one person.
Bryson DeChamblee.
I'll have a glass of the Bryson DeChamblee.
Are you excited, Rand, about the PGA tournament this weekend?
I am in St. Louis.
Belle Reve Country Club, St. Louis. They're saying it's going to play like one of the longest PGA championships ever, over like 7,300.
I mean, I don't know how difficult. I don't know if we're like looking at a U.S. Open.
By the way, at Matt Foley 09, Matthew Foley, the whitest golfer, Brant Snedeker.
Ooh.
you're on
Snedeker's in the clubhouse. He's in the white clubhouse
with the lead. Snedeker does sound like a character in Cat in the Hat who's mad that the kids are having fun. Like the Snedekers, like that's a group of
Snedeker
something.
To me sounds like a game of pool or billiards where like all the balls are white.
And you have to go around.
You're like, I don't know what I'm hitting. We're playing Snedeker and I have no clue what
did
I'm
did you just say snooker?
Snedeker. Oh, we're playing Snedeker and I just don't know what ball I hit in and which is the ball I'm using to hit. I think everything's all white.
Snedeker.
All right, let's take a break.
All right. This segment's down. We are still working. We were close to having Ryan Dempster. We'll see if we can't pull him onto the line. If we can't, we have a lot to say. We will come back and talk about golf because
feel like golf, they need goons.
And you'll understand what we mean by that when we come back right after this. Who's this, Rand?
I don't know. Does it even matter?
It's just good music.
We're filling
Nina
in.
Nina Simone.
This is Nina Simone, To Love Somebody. We're filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. Sklar Brothers here. Stay with us.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show. Everybody say,
I defy you, Randy Sklar, to listen to another sports talk radio show.
That is playing Snail Mail Pristine?
Yeah.
I don't think there is one out there.
Why is my, when I go to air, like, do an air instrument, my default is to air bass?
Yeah. You're a beta male.
You're not an alpha
dude. We are the Sklar Brothers. We're filling in for Jim Rome. Trying to get our phone lines to work here. I know the dudes are feverishly working, and we apologize for that. But it just means we get to give you more takes.
And we've worked hard to prepare some stuff for you guys and to talk about what's happening.
We are getting some great who is the whitest golfer alive. There's some great
at
ones.
At Mailman Casey, at Sklar Brothers, Eldrick Woods is the whitest golfer name, hands down.
That is a good point.
Kind of true.
I can't really argue with that.
Fact.
Fuzzy Zeller, about as white as you can get. That is the truth.
That's the damn truth. All right, but let's get into that, because that is relevant to what I wanted
Charles
to talk about.
Charles Schwartzel?
Pretty bad.
Charles Schwartzel sounds like an act of degradation you perform on someone.
Yes. Like, that's part of German porn.
I gave him a Charles Schwartzel. Like, I don't
even
know.
I gave him a Charles and then followed that up with a Schwartzel.
You don't do both in the same move unless you are completely sadistic.
All right. So I don't know if you heard about this, Rand. I think you did. A woman was banned from playing in an amateur golf tournament because this is last week in, I think it was in New York area. Mm-hmm. She was told she was too intimidating.
And that woman was Phil Mickelson.
Stop. 23-year-old woman from Yonkers. She had already been in the tournament, by the way. And I will explain why this is relevant to the PGA
right,
and what's going on.
Right.
She was apparently in second place in the tournament. She was told she could not compete in the final round.
Guys, golf, stop.
Hey, golf.
You're having a problem crossing over. And by the way, you're coming from fans. We actually love golf. I love watching golf on the weekends. I think it's very therapeutic.
I'm telling you,
you guys, stop. You need to cross over more, and this is not the way to – doing stuff like this is not the way to do it.
You don't golf. You don't need publicity like this in any of your ranks, even in amateur tournaments. You don't want to piss off a woman from Yonkers like this.
Period.
Nobody wants to do that.
You need every man, woman, and child wanting to play golf.
If they want to play golf, you give them the chance to play.
That's right.
Apparently, I guess the official reason that they gave for banning this woman is she was – hitting golf balls from the top level of the golf range.
Top golf.
And she was hitting it past the 180-yard limitation.
And that was upsetting people?
Like, no one could come to her and say, hey, you're not allowed to hit it over 180 from the top. So I guess you got to take higher clubs, wedges and whatnot off the top level. Because I guess they don't want their balls.
She just misunderstood the rules of what she could hit where. Maybe she knew the rules.
Even if she's trying to intimidate someone, you walk over and you're like, hey, do you want to be kicked out of this tournament? Go down to the lower level if you want to hit the longer ball. If you want to go to the top level, you got to hit the higher
club. They didn't warn her at all. That is so extreme.
It's passive aggressive. It's golf passive aggression.
This is why people who don't play golf hate golf for stuff like this.
Right. And look, maybe she was intimidating. I don't know.
Maybe she was giving people the stink eye. As they were putting.
You know, maybe.
Maybe she shouted, get out of the hole after they put the ball.
Maybe she was coming up with, you know, nicknames for people that were nice. I don't know.
That'd be great.
Johnny
No Putt.
Barbara Bad Pants. I don't know what she was. We don't know who she is. So I wasn't playing with her. So I don't know whether she was intimidating.
Lucy Lobwedge.
Maybe she shouted at her caddy.
Yeah. That's
no one likes
cool.
to see that.
Actually, I think that'd be great. A little fire.
This is what we're getting at, and this is the heart of this take is that even if she's doing all those things, even if she's being intimidating to other players, even if she's being angry with her caddy, even if she's prone to outbursts, we need that. Golf needs a villain.
I agree. Think about Prince Nassim Hamed.
I think about him all the time. I think about him too much.
Right. I want you to think about Prince Nassim Hamed. I hated the guy.
Hated him.
Wanted to watch every single match, every single boxing match he was in. Every single time he fought, I was like, I want to see him get his ass kicked. That's because you're like, I want him to get his comeuppance. The way he fought, the way he taunted people, you're like, knock this sucker out.
And that's what I think we watch sports for two reasons, essentially. One, to root for our team to win.
And then one, to watch another guy lose.
To watch a villain go down.
That's right. Think about Draymond Green. If you didn't go to Michigan State and you're not a Warriors fan,
you
hate Draymond Green. You want to see that dude go down.
You want to see him get hard fouled. You want to see him get pushed while he's going up for a layup.
Or you want to see him lose in the most embarrassing way. Why? Because he's good and he's a villain. He backs up the talk.
And he talks.
He talks and he walks the walk. He's a champion three times over. He's the reason, one of the reasons why that team is as great as it is, why it's a dynasty. He is an amazing player that also at times will kick Steven Adams in the nuts.
Right. He's the definition of a role player. He fits the role by being a good defender, and he plays the villain role. He plays that role on that team.
You want to see him fail. Like, if you're watching, I'm like, come on. But then on some level, you have to respect the hell out of him. The guy wins. He just wins, and he wins with that team, and he is the heart and soul of that team.
Right. So if you love him like nobody's business. Same
golf needs a Draymond Green. That's all we're saying.
Same with Jim Harbaugh. If Jim Harbaugh is not your guy, you cannot wait to see him fail. I can't tell you how many people were psyched when that Michigan State punt happened and the guy made the improbable play for the 1 second to win the game at the last second. So many people who wanted to see him go down, Paul Feinbaum included, wanted to see that happen. All right, fine. They got excited when that happened. Why? Because Harbaugh puts it out there and he rubs people the wrong way and he's a villain to a lot of people. If you love him, then he's your guy. Same with Draymond Green. It's good for the sport. It is good to have guys draw your ire, get you upset.
We need to convert a couple of – we need to make golf – give some villains out there so that you're rooting against people down the stretch.
Well, we mentioned Fuzzy Zeller early. When Fuzzy Zeller was making the racist, you know,
chicken and collard green remarks
on camera, by the way, he didn't say that to a reporter. All right. He said that on camera in an interview,
acting like he was at a Klan barbecue as opposed to a PGA Tour event.
And like, if that happened today, that guy would be destroyed.
Right.
All right. But what happened back then was I wanted to see him play golf. I wanted to see him lose.
I wanted to see him and Tiger in a playoff.
I wanted Tiger to own him.
Right.
And there's no pun intended on that.
Remember
I wanted Tiger to own that dude.
That's right. Meanwhile, Vijay Singh, remember when Michelle Weir, was it Annika Sorenstam was like going to play in the men's tournament and Vijay Singh just got all like went back to just rolled back the clock and was like, look, if she can play. And she's in.
What do you care?
By the way, she's not going to win the tournament.
And even if she comes close, like, what do you care? Play your game. If you're intimidated by her, then say that. Or say, look, I'm going to treat her like everyone else. She's going down. Just say that.
By the way, Vijay, you're halfway there. We can totally turn you into a fully hateable guy. I mean, he's not relevant anymore, but that's the type of guy we need to, like, turn even
turn
further.
Him just a little. Turn the screw on that one.
Let's
Lumpy Heron. Let's turn the screw on that guy.
Turn the screw on Lumpy Heron, and I am there. Ian Poulter. He could be a golf goon.
Ian Poulter is a golf villain already. I don't like he wears a visor. He wears like a Smash Mouth visor. Mm-hmm. He's got like frosted tips. He's from 1998.
His eyes. He's got the eyes of a psycho.
And he's like a little cocky. He's like he's one of those guys.
Cocky.
He's a lot cocky. He's one of those guys who's like, I could take down Tiger. Like back when Tiger was at the height of his game, he was like that guy saying that. Make him a golf villain.
There you go.
Now you want to see.
I actively would root against him.
That's a guy you want to see in golf. Golf needs
okay,
that.
What are the moments in golf that we love the most? The Ryder Cup. Ryder Cup because you hate Europe. And if you're Europe, you hate the United States. Here's the United States.
The United States is dressing around, walking around like they're wearing a tablecloth for jerseys, for shirts.
And then just running, trampling the green after they make one. Justin Leonard makes one magical putt.
And that's when we love golf. That's when golf has this energy that you're like, why doesn't golf always have that energy? I want some guy talking smack to another guy while he's putting. I want to see that. I want the guy to be like, hey, you know,
Noonan.
That's not golf. Well, good, it's not golf.
Get out of the hole.
Take that guy down. Take him down. Let's make him hateable. Now you're going to be watching. Now people who aren't fans of golf will be like, you see that guy?
Yeah.
See that guy who was talking during the guy's backswing
the
whole time?
Totally different.
Take that guy down. We want tennis had it. Tennis had some great is also known as one of those country clubs. Let's wear the white shirts, the white shorts.
You wear your whites to play.
Okay, that's tennis. Wimbledon is it Wimbletown?
I think it's Wimbletown.
Wimbledon is one of those.
And it's Downtown Abbey.
It's Downtown Abbey,
okay,
and it's Wimbledon.
Just making sure.
All right, tennis and Wimbledon is one of those like high society.
And tennis had the villains.
Tennis had the villains. Boris Becker. Boris Becker was a villain. Maybe it's because he was German. Maybe it was because it seemed like he was created in a lab. Now he's like.
He's a villain against the financially solvent.
Yeah.
He's having some issues.
He is having some issues.
He's prosperity's arch enemy, Boris Becker.
Hey,
Yvonne Lendl. To me, Yvonne Lendl was like, could have been a James Bond villain. Like in changeovers, when he's going to the other side, he could have been sitting down on a bench, stroking two Doberman pinschers.
Yeah.
Feeding them raw steaks. And if you said, I said he had the high cheekbones, he had the very angular shoulders. He was an evil person. John McEnroe. If you didn't like John McEnroe, didn't like the way he played the game, he was a villain and he played into it. He loved it.
We need it. Golf, you need it. As we roll into the PGA, I hope someone steps up and is tough. I hope someone steps up and is evil that we can root against. Makes it more interesting.
Well, we'll finish this up. There's a little bit more to go. By the way, Davis Love III. It's another super very, regards. Very. Boo Radley in the 805.
Yeah. I love it. Sklar Brothers, we're filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. We're very excited to be here. Stay with us. We're getting the phone situation taken care of. We got more to say, including a whole NASCAR drunken.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan France, the CEO of NASCAR, was drunk.
I can't wait to get into that. But there's a little more that I want to talk about this. We'll do it on the flip side of this break. Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest hosts Jason and Randy Sklar on CBS Sports Radio.
Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome. We want to take a moment just to thank him for all that he does and for letting us come in here and do what
should
we do.
Should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, should have been in the Hall of Fame.
Just keep saying it. Should be in the Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame.
Let him in.
HOF.
Let him in.
Huge email of the day. Barbasol razors. After 100 years of making shaving cream, Barbasol is finally making razors. That's a good development. That was a no-brainer, too. Try the new Barbasol Ultra 6 Plus with 6 ultra-thin blades.
I'm ready for that.
Save now at Barbasol.com. We're getting great emails today. Obviously, the phone lines are down, so email is a great way for
you. And great Twitter. We are at Sklar Brothers. Read Brian France, and we'll get into it. Are NASCAR fans more upset of
that he's a drug user?
The sports leader's a drug user hanging out the Hamptons are driving a Lexus. We'll get into it. You guys are the best Jim Rome's jungle hosts. Adland at Adland LA. Thanks, buddy.
I want to finish up our
Hold on. Yeah. Brenton PC said, how do you guys not mention Patrick Reed? Everybody hates him, including his family. When your family doesn't like you,
then you know it's bad. Like anytime like the cops get called into like a
domestic dispute,
like between a sister and a brother,
you couldn't handle that.
That's not good. It's definitely not good.
But what we were saying before in terms of like the
golf
goons,
needing a villain.
And by the way, golf goons and golf villains.
Patrick Reed would be a great golf goon.
But here's what I'm saying. You know the way in? I don't know if you watch the long drive championships. I've been watching a ton of those long. Those people are so jacked up. The long drive championships, those people are like, it's like they had 17 Monster energy drinks before they went out there.
Yeah, they're like Mountain Dew, like zero. Mountain Dew Red, like.
Code Red Mountain Dew. Code Red is like, we have a problem.
Code Red is like.
Code Red is like, meet us by the doors of the emergency room. We have a problem. Code Red.
Code Red is, do you want your heart to stop for 30 seconds?
So here's the thing. I know the long drives have been around for a while, but I feel like they've just now in the last like 5 or 6 years have gained more popularity on TV.
Sure.
People will say, I've been watching them for 20 years. Fine. You're the only one. They're now kind of around and being advertised and people are watching these things. Like I sat and watched the whole long drive championship. Like I was watching, I was like, oh, you better hit that 450 yards or I'd watch it go. This is how much I watched. I watched it go off the club and I was like, that's 430. That's how much I was watching. I was like, that's not 450. Don't come to me. Too much of a tail on that one.
Uh-huh. If it isn't too much of straight.
A fade. You don't want to fade. You want to turn it over. All right, the whole thing. But those people are fired up. You get the feeling they could hit it 450 yards, then go punch a baby. That's how jacked up they are.
Or snap their clubs and start shivving
the
people.
The possibility of them, men or women, hitting a drive and then throwing the driver into the crowd and hitting someone.
That's jacked up.
St. Patrick's Day, University of Michigan, 1994. Yeah. I'm at a bar in the morning. You weren't even with me, Jay.
No,
I'm at a bar in the morning drinking. I watch a woman grab a plastic pitcher of beer, an entire pitcher of beer. She took the pitcher while all these people were watching, drank the entire pitcher
one
in one gulp, in one sip, then threw the pitcher behind her. and it hit a girl who was not expecting it on the head as she walked in with her purse. And she probably wasn't. I'll just have water.
I'm just coming to be here with my friend. I'm here to support.
Oh my God. Hit her in the head. I'm saying that could happen at a long drive championship.
So you see those guys as like, let's insert one or two of those guys into a PGA tournament just to get some villainy going.
Yes.
Because they don't care.
They're like, loose cannons.
That's like when you send in the guy who you don't care if he picks up three hard fouls right off the bat just to rough up another team's
Mark Madsen wasn't brought in there because he ran great. Yeah, he would do a hard screen that could have been a foul. You could call it every time.
I mean, that's Kurt Rambis.
Golf needs more of that. So not only did this stupid country club that denied this woman said she was too intimidating from hitting it off the top thing.
They got that wrong. They also got wrong the fact that this woman, even if she is intimidating, is good for the sport.
She's in second place in the tournament. Don't you want her to win?
Golf villain.
But don't you want her to lose? Maybe to someone who's playing it the right way? Little intimidation is needed.
How great would it be if at the Masters they're introducing someone on the first tee
and you hear a smattering of boos?
God, that's so much better.
Right?
That feels so good. That's so good for the sport.
Patrick Reed's name is announced. You hear some boos and you see his family right behind him. Look, we watch sports as much as we want our favorite athletes to win, and then we want to watch people fail.
There's Schadenfreude built into it.
The athletes and coaches that you hate, you want to see them fail.
Don't
deny us that.
There is nothing better. I'm gonna argue this as we roll into college football season, and then we're gonna get into something that happened with NASCAR before the end of this break. There is nothing better on a Saturday afternoon in the fall than watching your college football team win the early game, hang around to watch the late game, one of your rivals play another team and lose.
Yep. That's a great feeling.
That's the daily double feeling. Saturday afternoon.
Exactly. That's an equally joyful day. And if you're in college, you go out and you party that night like there is no tomorrow. It's just fun.
Golf villains, get on it. Sklar Brothers say so.
I'm going to say this. You know there's going to be the Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, $10 million match over Thanksgiving.
Yeah. And I'm going to watch that.
Why can't this woman play in that?
Let her play that.
And by this woman, I mean Phil Mickelson. Let her in. Let her in.
All right, we tease this, and we'll talk about it. If we can get some of this taken now and maybe have to wrap around and finish at the top of the next hour. The CEO of NASCAR, Brian France.
Because nothing says NASCAR in the USA more than a guy named France.
I mean, NASCAR is the most jingoistic American sport next to bull riding and lawnmower racing.
And midget tossing.
And yet, France, you think about it, the France family is kind of like,
they're the first family of racing.
They are.
They are the first family
of racing. His grandfather, Bill France, founded NASCAR in 1948. His dad was CEO of NASCAR from 1972, the year we were born, to 2000.
Which, by the way, there was a great NASCAR podcast called, like, The Golden Road, or what was it? Or
Something Road.
It's a fantastic NASCAR podcast that I listened to. And the truth of the matter is, all of the excitement happened when his father was the CEO. 79, kind of that area in there. There was like one
weekend
in college football where a college football game was rained out or there was lightning and all they could show was NASCAR. And there was this NASCAR event. Might have been the Daytona 500. Might have been, I'm not sure, but there was like a fight after the ABC Wild World of Sports showed it. Everybody, it was like a fight happening on the track. So his father, Bill France, actually, his dad was the CEO of NASCAR from 1972 to 2000 and really grew it to what it ultimately would
Heritage become. Road is the podcast.
Heritage Road's the podcast. There you go.
And it's fantastic.
Yeah. Highly recommend that if you're a NASCAR fan.
So they handed over the reins to the very capable son.
Who really did the.
Of a wealthy man who was the son of a wealthy man. And that guy screwed up, which is weird because that never happens.
Yeah.
The sons of
wealthy men
are usually pull yourself up from the bootstraps.
These
kind
are
of guys
who just do it. Without,
they never above the law guys.
They don't want the credit.
So Brian France, CEO of the people, was hanging in the Hamptons, as NASCAR fans are wont to do.
A lot of NASCAR people.
You go to the Hamptons in the summertime, and it is 90% NASCAR fans.
I mean, everybody is wearing like a 48.
He goes to Sag Harbor, which is the
home. I can't tell you how many number threes you see just driving around the Hamptons.
He's driving through Sag Harbor, which is where Billy Joel lives. That's where he has a house. And by house, I mean a split level townhome.
Am I wrong to think that Dane Cook's brother stole from Billy Joel?
I don't know. I don't think you're right, but I'm just going to say we'll allow it.
Okay.
We'll allow it, Randy.
It's like everybody's brother who took money for them took money from Billy Joel as well.
All right. So Brian France, he's in the Hamptons. He's lit up like the starting lights at Daytona. I don't know if that's what it's called.
Probably just has a split-level townhome in Sag Harbor.
That's all he can afford.
And he has to stop playing piano at 9 p.m. because, like, the people above him have, like, a new baby. They're like, you got to stop.
Hey, man, I know you're great.
We love it.
Angry Young Man is a great song.
Sing us a song, you're the piano man.
Root Beer Rag, I'm down with all that. But the baby is really
having a tough time sleeping. Can you just not?
Can we please get back to Brian France? He's in the Hamptons. He's lit up like the starting lights at Daytona.
Mm-hmm.
Look.
And the dude is big into automobiles. He is the member of the France family.
So he's drunk, and he's like, the good thing and smart thing to do right now is to go out and take a little drive, right? I'm lit up. I should drive.
If you know anything about automobiles, the best time to drive is when you're completely lit up, not.
So he's...
hops into his...
2017 Lexus.
Should that be a nicer car? You are
Brian France, you are the CEO of NASCAR.
By the way, I'm not knocking a Lexus. A Lexus is a really nice car.
Lexus has
for everybody.
Up the line, they're high-level, high-end Lexuses.
By the way, for anybody who is listening to this right now, if you had a Lexus, you'd be ecstatic. If you are the CEO of NASCAR.
You do not drive a 2017 Lexus, the car that every mom who's not my wife, who's picking up their kids at my daughter's preschool, drives. Should he be driving a mauve 2017 Lexus? At the very least, a 2018 Lexus, maybe a 2019.
Like, you should have access to the Lexus that they show at concept cars at auto shows. He should
be in the shape of Elon Musk.
You should literally be able to, like, fly.
You should be in a flying car. If you're the CEO of NASCAR, you should maybe have a car that has the capability to fly if you needed to.
At the very least.
It should be amphibious.
A Ferrari, a DeLorean, a Lotus. I would accept any of those three. Anything where the doors open up, fly up like wings. Doom.
And we're not even saying Lexus can't make a nice car. But
no, we're just saying.
Dude is in the car business.
He should be getting a new car every 5 days.
So he's in this 2017 Lexus, and he decides...
crushing life, by the way, in a 2017 Lexus, in the Hamptons, amongst his people.
And he decides some stop signs are not for him.
Hey, he's Brian France in a 2017...
maybe he's not ready to make a pit stop.
2017 Lexus.
So he blows through a stop sign at 7:30 p.m., and we've said this on our podcast.
7:30 p.m. Understand all the decisions that led to him being drunk at 7:30 p.m.
Randy, 7:30 p.m. is the 3 a.m. of day drinking.
That is
a fact.
What does Jim Rome say on this show? Nothing good happens after 2 a.m.
At the bar.
If you're at the bar at 2 a.m., you are nothing good. You're not going to cure cancer.
You're not going to solve a world problem. You're not going to come out with it. No one's going to write an article about how great you were at 2:15 a.m. at the bar.
Nobody. 7:30 p.m.
is the 3 a.m. of day drinking.
There you go.
Nothing good will happen at that time if you decide to get behind the wheel. And Brian France found that out the hard way.
Drinking all day.
Cops pull him over. They do a field sobriety test. He blows a 0.16, twice the legal limit.
Oh, and the cops found some oxycodone in the glove compartment.
No, on his person.
On his person. I'm sorry, on his person.
Not in the glove, on his person. So I'm like, where's he going? Is he having a pill party with his buddy Rush? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Pill party at Rush's.
But here's the thing that happens with him, which is another moment where you don't like the guy. He goes through that moment with the cops.
Gets thrown in jail for the night.
But he argues with the cops.
As
he's getting booked, he doesn't do the "do you know who I am?" Because nobody knows who Brian France is if you're not a giant NASCAR fan. And I'm guaranteeing you no one in the Hamptons knows who the hell Brian France is.
He can't pull the Gloria James, I'm at
the Reese Witherspoon. The most famous one ever is Reese Witherspoon gets pulled over and she says, "Do you know who I am?" So Brian France does the "do you know who I know?" He's one step away.
Far trickier, and it's like a more difficult question.
No, I don't know who you know. I don't know who you are. And so he starts trying. So then he drops a Donald Trump. The one guy who's fighting law enforcement from the top, whether you like Trump or not, he's pummeling law enforcement through the FBI, and you're saying to a cop, "Do you know who I know, Donald Trump?" You're going in the clink. You're getting locked up. We have more to say about this on the other side.
Oh, yeah. There's more of this NASCAR Brian fan. Hold tight on your Brian France takes.
But tweet at us. We're at Sklar Brothers. Or email us, RomanHaveATake.com. Hour three coming up. We're trying to get the phone lines fixed. If not, we got lots to say. We're the Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. Don't go anywhere.